Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Senior Pastor Reggie Green.
We talk about the things of God and God speaking to us. It is divine truth that we're meant to hold on to and allow that truth to change our lives. The church is where the Bible says the church is the pillar of truth. Is that, you know, Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so this truth that comes from God is so important to us. And this is what the church is all about. I was in Kenya, you know, I was in Africa not too long ago, just a few weeks or a month ago. And what really blew me away was that here we were preaching to a people who for the most part, well, definitely most of them could not read. Most of them could not speak their national language. The Pokot people had a dialect all of their own. They didn't have Bibles and they didn't know everything they knew was about word of mouth, and we're out there preaching to them, and in 4 days I watched people who were demon possessed. I watched people who worshiped idolaters who worshiped a mountain and the witches that were on that mountain. And as we begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it wasn't another man's opinion. It wasn't some philosophy. It wasn't like we're just getting together and say, oh, this would be good things to say. We are literally proclaiming the word of God to people. And this, we are preaching to them the truth, the eternal truth of God. And what happened was, what I saw within 4 days, people who were transformed. People who were totally different, people who had renounced worshiping a mountain, renounced going to witches for healing and direction for their life. What I saw in 4 days was people being filled with the Spirit of God and real joy coming into their life, and their faces changing and their lives changing, and have a sense of hope and purpose. This is what the gospel does. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. This is what his church is all about. And I just thought that it was very important that we do understand, because a lot of people do not get church. You know, church isn't a club. It's not a social club. It's not a place that we just go in and just, you know, like I said, if we like it, fine. If we don't, no big deal. It is literally the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. You know, in Romans 12:5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And the Bible talks about us literally being the body of Christ, and it's through his church that things get done. Jesus is still working and ministering and doing things just like he did thousands of years ago. It hasn't changed. Instead of him being on the planet, he is working through us. He's working through us. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, for as the body is one, and he has many members, but all the members of that one body being many, or one body, so also is Christ. And the Bible is talking about an intimacy and a closeness that the people have. That, like I said, it is a family, it is a body. And just like every part in your body is in direct relationship with every other part of your body, and there's not one part of your body that's important and or more important than any other part, but all the parts work together to make your body whole and healthy and sound. So is the church. So is the church of Jesus Christ, being the body of Christ. And this is what you're part of, and this is what I'm part of. And God thought it was a great idea to pick you and choose you and make us part of this great family, this great body of his. It is a beautiful thing. It is miraculous. It is not something that we take light. The church is the most awesome group, body of people on the entire planet. There is nothing more wonderful, as far as I'm concerned. There's not a better organization than the church of Jesus Christ. You and I have a privilege being part of it. God, like I said, God thought it was his idea. It was his doing, his choosing to touch us and to pick us and to make us part of a local body of believers. Like I said, it's not a club. It's not a YMCA. It's not a car club. It's not a gang. It is literally a family, an intimate family, that the Bible says we are literally the body of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, one of the most beautiful deep texts you could ever read in scriptures. If you're taking notes, you need to write it down. Every time I do a wedding, I use this verse, and it says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves him church, loves his own self. And when you drop down to verse 32, it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. He said, this is a great mystery. One of the most intimate, closest relationships that could ever be had on the planet is between a husband and a wife. So intimate and so close. God says when two people join together, they literally become one individual. You can't become more intimate than that. And Jesus, the scripture says that the church in relationship to Jesus is exactly the same way. That's what this is today. This is what we're part of. This is what God allowed it to become of. And it is the most powerful thing on the planet. You've heard me preach and speak about the message that we, you know, like I said, the gospel is the most powerful message ever spoken. You could speak it to a drug addict. You can talk to an alcoholic. You can talk to someone who is about ready to commit suicide. You can talk to people who do not have no hope, people bound in sin and lost with no direction. Share your testimony, tell them about Jesus Christ, and when they believe, their life literally changes from the inside out. That is awesome to me. We have the privilege. We are commissioned. God has laid the responsibility in our lap to preach the gospel to every person that we know, because this is how God wants to bless this earth. Are you with me today? You know where I'm coming from with this thing. I'm not going to change on the message. We have to get it. It has to seep down in our spirit. We need to get a great understanding of who we are and what we're part of. These verses that I just read speak of the intimacy and the closeness that we have and who we are and how God sees us. Something holy, something special. Not a machine, not a club. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. And you and I need to, it's important to understand what we're part of, because if you don't understand what you're part of, it's hard to be committed. If you don't get it, we'll treat it lightly. It's like a person who has a wonderful wife, and let's use a man, has a wonderful wife, man, who loves him, cares for him, does everything, man, as a wife could and should do, but he doesn't appreciate her and will not treat her correctly. And it's the same way when it comes to a church. When we don't see it the way God sees it, when we don't see it and appreciate it the way that we should, we'll take it for granted. We'll take it lightly. We won't value or esteem it. The church is powerful, beautiful, awesome. We have a message. The Spirit of God is in us and fills us, covers us. We have a destiny and a purpose. God is leading us somewhere. We're not going around in circles. We're not wasting our life or wasting our time. And I can preach and preach forever about how powerful, great, and wonderful the church is. But I have to say something else about the church. And that it, the church is also vulnerable. Vulnerable. And all our power and all our glory and all that God is doing in our midst, you have to come to the conclusion, and I'm challenging you today to just open your heart and mind and consider the people of God, and we are quite vulnerable. The word vulnerable means capable of being physically or emotionally wounded, open to attack or damage, assailable, vulnerable to criticism. And so this is what the word vulnerable means. And it's like it speaks of a weakness. It speaks of something, an intimacy. It speaks of something that is not, it's strong but not strong. There's something, you know, about us. And I want to tell you that God made it this way. Vulnerability. It's like I said, the nature of the church is vulnerability. And we come into a church and we're challenged to lift up our hands. We're challenged to yield and to give ourselves to God. We are challenged by the Word of God to trust and to love and to forgive. Are we not? We're challenged to turn the other cheek, you know, to go the extra mile. And like I said, we're challenged by the Word of God to put our trust in Him. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, you know, but we put our trust, our hope, and our faith in God. The Bible tells us to hold still. And when we hold still and trust God, you can't help but think that puts us in a vulnerable position. At an altar call, we come, we kneel down, we open our hearts. The Bible says, it tells us to confess our faults, confess our sins one to another, to get away from the pride and the conceit and the self-righteousness and the arrogance. That is something that we have to leave at the door before we come in. The Bible says, tells us to come into the kingdom as a little child. You know, kids are a trip, man, and kids are vulnerable. You know, they're weak and beautiful, and Jesus says, come into the kingdom as a kid. Kids really don't even know who they are. They're not even thinking about who they are. You know, you ever see a kid with a dirty face or peanut butter and jelly all over their face, man, and they're still happy and they're still laughing and they still trust their environment. They don't have any, if they haven't been abused or taken advantage of, man, they'll hug you and love you. They're approachable, man. It's nothing more beautiful than the innocence of a child. And Jesus says, enter the kingdom. Enter the kingdom as a little child. Take off the garment of pride, man. Let down your arrogance, you know. We sing, we shout, we worship, we yield, we cry, we pray. And the Holy Ghost works this in our lives, man. The Spirit of God in us challenges us to let down your guard. You know what I'm talking about? When God is telling you, it's okay. You can trust. You know, you can believe. You can hope. Not everybody's going to stab you in the back. Not everybody's going to cheat you. Everybody, like I said, the last place on the planet where any of that, something like that would go down would be the church. Enter the kingdom as a little child. Trust and be honest. Let down your guard. You can be yourself. You don't have to put on a front anymore. That is the nature of the kingdom. It's the nature of the church. The name Keeping It Real was for that reason, that we wouldn't have to play religion. We wouldn't have to play church, but we could be accepted for who we are, and we could be loved and forgiven. We could be worked with. We could be challenged. We could be stirred with no fear of being kicked to the curb or being rejected, but to be accepted. And in order for all this to happen, we would have to enter here as a child, and we have to subject ourselves to vulnerability. Discipleship involves being vulnerable, you know what I mean? To be able to say, Pastor, look, I don't have it all together, but I want to get it together, and so I'm going to be honest with you about some things in my life. That's vulnerability. To be able to be honest with another sister in the church, or to be able to express what you're really going through and how you're feeling, that's vulnerability. And you can't always do that. You can't do that in the world. But in the kingdom of God, we're challenged to go this direction, the Spirit of God Himself working inside of us. To let the pit bulls, move the pit bulls out of your life, tear the walls down and the barriers. It's like God said, let me in, let me help you. It's okay, you can let down your guard. And this is the beauty of the church. Are you with me? Vulnerability. There's another problem, another thing I'd like to look at, though. And that is that when something is vulnerable, there's always somebody or some spirit that wants to exploit the weakness. Are you with me with that? Can you grasp what I'm getting ready to say? And I'll call it, this next point is called the crime of exploitation. The word to exploit or exploitation means to use someone, to take advantage of someone for your benefit. It's like we have no intent on helping, but all we want to do is take. And one of the things about Christians, and one of the things about God's church, the beautiful thing about God's people is that, yes, we are called to be vulnerable, to be open, to be honest, to trust, to believe, to forgive. But then there is the danger of being exploited, being used, or being taken advantage of. When Keeping It Real was birthed, it was birthed in the living room of my house. I'm repeating a story that we all know, but imagine kids coming into my living room, kids coming into my house, not just a few kids, bunches of them, lots of them. coming into my house. I think at the peak, we probably had, you know, the most I've ever counted was 115, 120, 20 kids coming from Canoga Park, you know, and all juniors or seniors or freshmen. And these are kids, and the Spirit of God is working in their life. And they're glad to be saved and glad to be born again. And they stopped. What was a trip was a lot of the young people wasn't going to their parents' church anymore, you know. And the parents are coming out to my house because they thought I was a cult leader. You got all these Latino kids and this old black pastor, and they want to come to church in my house. The parents want to see what's up. Are you with me? And when they would come and I would crack up, I would laugh. I said, come on in, because I know what they want to see. But this is what I want to say. I said, you got young people who are yielded to the Spirit of God. They are listening to the words that I speak. I have been given influence in their lives by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Do you know that's how leadership works? You know what I mean? And if anybody here trusts me as pastor, and you yield and you're, you know, if you're open to direction, that I understand that that is totally the grace of God. It's not because I'm so sharp, so got my act together, but it is the relationship that God establishes between pastor and the people in the church. And I'm seeing this. And as I'm seeing this, and parents are coming out, let me tell you, in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, what I am feeling and sensing the words over and over again. And my wife would tell you the same thing is, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Because this is somebody's child. These are somebody's kids. These are new believers, new converts, new to the kingdom of God. They are wide open because of the Spirit of God working in their life. It is a genuine thing happening. God is touching them. And so you, pastor, you, man, oh God, you need to walk lightly. Very lightly. Because this is the church, and there is vulnerability there, and there is innocence there. And I'm saying things, and I got to make sure that they don't pick up on any bad attitudes. I got to watch my mouth, what I say, the direction that I'm going, because people are listening, because they are yielded to the Spirit of God. Not to a man, but to the Spirit of God. I am standing in the place as a pastor, a preacher. This is where God has me, and I'm supposed to lead this group. But the Holy Spirit is saying, walk lightly. Because this ain't some light thing. This ain't some quick thing or something that's not to be respected. No, this is divine. And you and I need to come together. Since I had to be that way, I'm guarantee you, every one of us has to walk that same way. This thing that God is doing in our midst, Him working in the lives of people, you and I are required to watch how we walk, how we talk. We are called to be examples as how Christians are supposed to live. Are you with me? Because people are vulnerable. We got to watch what we say. We got to watch those who are around us. We need to be careful about the church. We need to appreciate and value the delicate thing that God is doing. People build their lives on other people. You know, a good reason to come to church is because we do reference off of each other. That's a good reason. Because people look to each other as examples. You ever heard of a pillar in the church? Someone was called a pillar. Someone that didn't necessarily have any type of public ministry, but they were faithful over the years, day in and day out. They were a pillar of that church. They're holding that church up, holding that church up by their testimony, by their presence, and by their spirituality, a pillar. And it's so important to have people, a pillar, someone you can reference off of, someone you can look at, that over the years, they're not up and down and in and out, and they come to church and don't come to church, they serve God, don't come to church. We're talking about someone who's consistent in all that they're doing as far as their life, as far as them living for God. So important in the church. A good reason to be faithful is because others are looking at us. A good reason to watch what we're saying because people are listening to us. A good reason to watch where we go and how we act is because others reference off of us, because it is important to other believers what we do and what we don't do. Vulnerability opens us up to exploitation, where people can very easily take advantage of us. I mean, know that we ain't stupid. We're the children of God, but we, you know what I mean? And gentle as a dove, Jesus said, but wise as a serpent. You know, but in the church, you know, we just have to be careful how we treat each other, what we say and how we go. We don't have a lot of single men. I used to preach it more than ever, but you know, well, in fact, let me just be honest, male and female. The church is not a candy store. You know, I don't, you know, people have different reasons for coming to church, but the main reason, the number one reason, the reason that needs to move you and drive you to be faithful, to come, to be part of what God is doing is because you got a relationship with God, not because of somebody else in the church, like some girl or some guy that you hope would be your husband or your wife someday. Amen. That's a good one. Church saying, that's not what it's about. I understand that you can come and find your destiny and find your soulmate. That's a beautiful thing. But I think our motives for coming need to be clear. They need to be clean. We need to come. We're not coming just because we want something. You know, do you know, like I said, if you come here and you want something, you want to do a certain thing, you have a certain talent and skill, you want it to be expressed and do you know all that can't be accommodated? Everybody who comes into this church, our number one reason, the number one purpose to come is because we are serving God. We have a love for God, a hunger for God. We want God to speak to us. We need direction for our life. We have a place in the church. The place for us is wherever we can get in, that's where we fit in. And whatever it takes to make this thing work, this is what we'll do. Why? Because this is where God placed us. We've got to be careful of the crime of exploitation. When we try to exploit or use things, situations, circumstances, and people to our advantage, we're going to use other people's. You're going to use other people for our benefit and other ministry for our benefit. It's not for the glory of God. It's not for the purpose of God. We have to be careful that we don't commit the crime of exploitation. We don't exploit one another. We back one another up. We cover. We protect. When something is weak, when something is vulnerable, you protect it. We protect it. We overshadow it, man. We like I said, it's something like a baby. Like I said, there's not a mother here, you know what I mean? I got my grandson. I love holding him, man, and he's there. And like I said, that whole experience is awesome. This is my grandson. It's like Reggie back there. That's my son. Or Cindy, this is my, you know what I mean? What a beautiful thing. And you want to protect, and you never ever want anything to happen to that child, and you want to give the child the best there is possible, you know what I mean? And you won't let any words hurt the child. You know, Cindy, when I was joking the other day, in fact, I had a, you know, Wednesday, I'm holding him, and the, you know, we had, I don't know if it was lemonade or something after church that was being served, and then I had, the baby had the cup. And I said, Cindy, I said, I gave him some lemonade. He drank half a cup. Oh, man, she's about ready to come unglued. You know what I mean? And she said, well, you said it. I was just joking. But a mother protecting and wanting, you know, concerned about the health of her child, man. And so this is the way we have to be. I think we should be about each other, about our church, about our relationships within the church, about what God is doing in us and through us and the direction that we're going, you know. It's something sacred, it's something holy, it's something powerful, but also something very vulnerable. And because it's vulnerable, we protect it. We protect it from words, we protect it from criticism, we protect it from demons and devils through our prayers. We protect our church. That's when the pit bull should come out. Hey, this is what God is doing in my life, in this place, at this time. This is the direction that we're going. This is what God is doing in our life. And outside people, whether you get it or you don't get it, you can't criticize it. It's like somebody trying to criticize your family. Anybody ever talk? I don't care. You know what I mean? If your mom, I don't know anybody's mothers. In fact, let me use that in case I am talking about your mom. I'll change it. You don't let nobody talk about your mom. I don't care what kind of woman she is. You say, you know, I know she is, but guess what? That's my mom. And if you say something again, I'm gonna have to go to church and get my heart right. You know what I mean? Because it's intimate. This is my family. I can criticize my family. We can talk things out. We can work things through. But if you're not part of this family, you got nothing to say. This is why I say it's the same thing about marriage. Like I said, marriages are sacred. Marriages are holy. Marriages are precious. Not any two marriages are alike. And that couple, that man and that woman works those things out within that family, within that marriage. And you don't let anyone criticize that. Or you don't, lady, you don't let somebody talk about your husband. And men, you don't let, I'm talking about even family members, talk about your wife. You don't allow it. It doesn't happen. Why? Because it's yours. And nobody from the outside can judge what's going on in that home. Unless you're doing something stupid. But you follow me with this? It's sacred, it's holy, it's vulnerable, it's yours, it's precious. The church is yours. It's your family. It's where God placed you. This is where you're putting your roots down. This is your destiny, and your future is linked to this congregation. And so for that reason, you protect it. You love it. You cherish it. You understand that every part of the body supports the other part of the body. You have a place to play, and so does the others, and we're all in this together. And for that reason, we can let our guard down. We can trust each other and work with each other and love each other and pray for each other and support each other, forgive each other, be kind to each other, because we're part of the same group. We're part of the same family, and God is doing something in us together. Do you know that when God, I'll tell you what, I don't want to get off track, but if you read in Revelations, I think it's the second chapter, and Jesus begins to speak to the churches, and he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, unto the angel of the church of, and he names seven different churches. And he started talking about their accomplishments, but Jesus began to speak and talk about their failures and where they were lacking and what they needed to do, get it right. But it was interesting that he is speaking. You know, the word angel means messenger. That's what the word angel means. That's all it means, is messenger. And he's saying unto the angel, or unto the messenger, or unto the pastor, the preacher, the minister, say this. Okay? That means he's directly holding the pastor, the preacher, the leader of that church responsible about some things. And he's also speaking to the individual churches. This is what's happening in these individual churches. And God looks at us as individuals, but he also looks at us as a group, a body, a particular group of people. And he speaks to us, blesses us, directs us, moves in our midst, and he expects certain things out of this particular group. I get that there's five churches that meet in this building. All five churches are different. All of them, God's working in them in a certain way, a particular way, and he's holding each one of them accountable for what he's calling them to do. Are you with me? We move as a unit, as a family, and we are to protect. We're supposed to obey what God wants us to do and go the direction God wants us. All the other details he'll take care of and fill in. We trust him for that. But this is where God have us. This is what God is doing in our lives. And we need to step up to the plate and be what God's called us to be and do what God wants us to do. 1 Thessalonians 4:6. It says, do not defraud your brother. God is an avenger in these matters. The word defraud means to trick or to cheat. And the Bible tells us very clearly, he says, don't defraud one another. In your relationships, be real. In your relationships, one with another, be honest. Don't talk out the side of your mouth. Don't talk behind your back. Don't be two-faced and say one thing and yet around you're saying something, you get around somebody else or another situation, you're saying something totally different. Be straight, be clean, be right. Have an opinion. Be able to speak up and say what you need to say, but be real. And let God help you, man. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, and we are to allow that to happen. Sometimes if we have to be corrected, then we're corrected. If we got to be directed, we're directed. If we got to be challenged, if we're on the right track, good, fine, it's great. But don't defraud each other in our relationships. The scripture tells us not to do that. Out of all the places in the earth where trust is violated and hearts are broken, we need to contend that it doesn't happen in our church. Out of all the places where someone can be ripped off, out of all the places where someone can be cheated, where out of all the places where someone can be kicked to the curb, let it not be in the church of Jesus Christ, where people can be ripped off, where people can be, you know what I mean? We are to be the best that we can to make this thing work. And I want to finish with this last thing, which I'd call the cure for this, you know, say we are, you've been exploiting, or you're not valuing what we have correctly. Not really appreciating it, you know? Like I said, I've been pastoring a long time, man, and you know what I'm struggling with right now? I'm re-gripping and readjusting for the next part of the journey. And my heart and in my mind, as I get older, I've been living for God for a while, I've been pastoring, and you know what I have to do from time to time? Readjust like a pit bull. Pit bulls once they bite down, they don't let go. They don't have locking jaws. It's just their attitude. They ain't letting go. The only time they readjust, the only time they let go is when they have to readjust their grip to get a better hold on whatever they're biting. And in Christianity, I believe it has to be the same way from time to time. We've made a good decision. We've made a good choice. We know the direction that we're going. And from time to time, we have to readjust our bite on the purpose and the destiny of God, on the things of God. We've clamped on. We know that we've made the right decision. We're going the right direction. But there are things that will happen and things come against us, our heart and our mind. The devil's always working. People come, people go. They backslide. They're here. You give your heart to them. They're not here. It happens. And our responsibility, what's your response? Our response should be that we just simply readjust our grip and bite down on the will and the purpose of God and keep doing what God's called us to do. The cure is gratitude that produces tenderness. That word tender is a trip. Gratitude that produces tenderness. And I was talking about marriage relationship, and if I was honest, and you've heard me say it before, I said in our marriage before, you know, years ago, I was a blockhead, and like I said, I was just insensitive, and I just didn't get it. And you know, like I said, I'm even a pastor, but everything was my way or the highway. This is the way it was gonna be, you know. Thus saith Reggie Green, and you know what I mean. And I'm not like that anymore. I'm a lot nicer, kinder, sweeter. Where's Violette to back me up on that? So, but what I want to say is, you know what makes me appreciate? Gratitude, thankfulness for my wife. If my wife could put up with my stuff the way I was and the way I am and be able to back me and support me and roll with me. And you know, it was a time when we moved every 2.5 years. Every 2.5 years, some other city to pastor, to preach, to minister, East Coast, West Coast, up north, down here, back to Arizona. We did it, you know, year after year, you know, every 2.5 years on an average. And my wife stuck through all that. You know, we're in it together. As you get older and I'm looking back, I go, man, I can't help but really appreciate the sacrifice. I really appreciate the commitment, you know, the support. And I'd have to say, you know, like I said, there's a lot of things I could not have done if it wasn't for my wife. A lot of things I couldn't be without. And so it produces, what it produces in me is tenderness. I can watch my words, watch the way I treat her, watch what I say, watch how I act. And I do it deliberately. You know what I mean? I'm intentionally, because if I said my wife rates it, as far as my relationship with her, being tender, being kind. When you're grateful for anybody or anything, you'll find yourself being tender and kind and sympathetic to them. Would you agree? When you appreciate your mother, you appreciate your brothers and sisters, you appreciate your relationships in the church, if you have a good friend that you really appreciate and value, if you have a good discipleship relationship with someone or a mentorship, hey, it begins to, if you produce, it's like a natural reaction. You're kind. You are tender. You are, if you appreciate the church, man, there's this attitude you'll have towards it because it's yours. You're there. God has you here. And so gratitude produces tenderness. And if you really are thankful for what you got and where you are for this church, you know, this body of believers, this family of God, your brothers and sisters, you'll be tender one towards another. And we won't take advantage of each other. We won't lie to each other. We will be real. We will, you know what I mean, support. We will back each other up. Are you with me? When you really do care and have an appreciation for the church of Jesus Christ, you will act differently, walk differently, treat the church differently. I'm going to finish with these two scriptures. Will you read this with me? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And then we're going to go to Colossians 3:12. But I want you to read this, and then we're done. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Divine instructions on how we ought to act with each other and be with each other. You know what I mean? It says, not with selfish ambition or conceit. You know, just what you can get out of this thing, just what you want and the way you want to go. It says, let each of you not only look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And there's a genuine care and concern about the destinies and the purpose and what God is doing in everyone's life here. And you understand that we're all linked together in this. We're all linked together. Colossians 3:12, my last one, and I'm done. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Those are good instructions for us. That's the church. That's the church that is powerful yet vulnerable. That's the group of people. That's what the Holy Ghost is working, where there's trust and there's honesty and there's genuine love and care for one another, and you can let your guard down. If you came into the church and you got some issues, guess what? It's okay, because we got your back in your issues. We're gonna work with you just like you're working with us, and just like we're all in this together. God's gonna heal us together, restore us together. He's gonna make us fruitful together. We're gonna have revival together. Our lives will change together. That's a beautiful and a powerful thing. It is the scriptures, it is the word of God, not someone's opinion. It is the divine truth that God is dispensing this afternoon, and we need to receive it. Can you say amen? Let's bow hearts, every head bowed, and every eye closed, reverence to God, man. God has us just where he wants us to be, and he's doing in us what he wants us to do. Our responsibility is to respond. Our responsibility, God's speaking, God's dealing, God's working. You know what I really feel right now is that he is challenging us to put our roots down in him deeply. when you don't understand something, when you don't get the way things are going, it's like that's the time that you cling to him. This is when you hold on to him and you say, God, I want you to deepen me, enlarge my heart, and increase my ability to see, know, and to understand. Make me sensitive to your spirit. Make me sensitive to what you're doing. God, what season are we in? A harvest season, a sowing season, a watering season. Is this a season where we're being tested and challenged to be faithful and to be committed? Is this a time to celebrate? Is it a time to go to war? Is it a time for prayer? What, God, where are we? What time is it? And so we are required, man, to know what is up, the time and the seasons that we're in. And if we seek the face of God, we can find that. One thing I do know is that the churches are by nature vulnerable. By nature. And you and I have the responsibility of protecting that vulnerability. We strengthen ours, we cover it with prayer, we cover it with our attitude, we protect with our spirit, with the words that we speak, the words that we don't speak. We don't let our family to be assaulted. We don't do that. We don't do that. Yeah, if you was part of this, you can have something to say, but if you ain't, you can't. It's like Jesse always said, well, you got any skin in the game? You got to have some skin in the game. You got to have an investment in this particular thing. And the investment is our lives. But as vulnerable as a church, the church of Jesus Christ may be, it is also the most powerful instrument, the most powerful organization, the most powerful family group on the planet Earth. The Spirit of God is within us. The Spirit of God leads us and guides us. We are covered by God's grace and covered by His blood, and we are submitted and yielded to His authority. And because we're submitted and yielded to His authority, He works through us great and powerful things. He blesses us. Yeah, we're a group, but He also blesses individuals. Because of our faithfulness and our dedication, our commitment. I want to challenge you today, if you're not part of the family of God, if you don't know God in a personal way, today's a day for you to choose, to make a choice. Today's a day that you can. God wants to make Himself real in your life. He has a destiny and a purpose for you. He wants to use you for His glory. He can make you something you could never, ever imagine you could be. It just takes a simple prayer to make a commitment to God. It's a simple prayer, the prayer of introduction, the prayer of accepting Him as your Savior. That's very simple. We make that choice, and along with that, man, we turn from our sin and something powerful happens. God makes Himself real to us. God shows Himself, He will show Himself strong on your behalf. I've watched God work miracles in many people's lives over the years. Testimony after testimony of people delivered from addictions, people delivered from jail sentences, people's marriages being healed and families being restored, and people who are crazy and yet God would bring sanity to them. People who are hooked, you know, just strung out on medication and can't get their lives together, and God begin to work in their lives simply because they accepted Christ as their Savior. Sin is what destroys us and hurts us, maims us, lames us, kills us. And today, you have an opportunity to renounce sin and ask Christ as your Savior. While your head is bowed and your eye is closed, if you'd like to give your life to Christ, pray with me. I'd like to lead you in this prayer. I want you to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you died for me. Forgive me for all that I've done wrong. Forgive me for my sins. Set me free from my bad habits. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you, to serve you, and to do your will. And I thank you, Lord, for loving me and drawing me unto you. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen and amen. You can keep your heads bowed. I want to challenge you to take some time and talk to God about your place in the body, your place in the church, who you are, what you're doing, what you're not doing. I want to challenge you to take a good look at your attitude, your feelings or the lack of feelings for the work of God, your commitment or your lack of commitment. See, we're in this together, and all of us, we have to do our part. Some of us, God just saying, just be faithful. Can you just come? Can you just be faithful? Can you just serve me? Even when you don't understand, can you just serve me? Can you be faithful? Can you be faithful? The word faithful simply means, can you stick to a thing? Can you stick to it? Let God build on your life. Let God use you. Let God move. He has to have somebody to move through. And you and I are well qualified to be moved through by the Spirit of God. Let God help us. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. But you take some time and begin to pray. Maybe God spoke to you through this message. Make a decision to appreciate the church in a brand new way. And let God help us. Let God help you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit KIRChurch.com or follow us on Instagram at KIRChurch.